kind of a short outline. Whew, what little energy I had today. The reality of death. In Mark chapter 5, there's three miracles, really. One about demon-possessed man, and Jesus Christ cast out the legion of demons, and a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years touched his garment. And also this little girl we'll be talking about tonight is 12 years old, Jairus' daughter. So let's read these verses of scriptures in 22 through 24, and then the rest of the chapters we have time tonight. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet, that's feet of Jesus Christ, and besought him greatly, begged him, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people, a great multitude, it says, followed him and thronged him, crowded him out. Let us pray again. Father, we thank you for the blessings here today. Father, we look at our prayer list. We certainly know that we certainly need your prayers upon the people. And Father, you are concerned. And Father, your glorification, Lord, that we have in each one of our lives tonight. And Father, Lord, we have on our prayer list that you might be glorified. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for the great work that you do through your lives for your people, Lord. So we just want to thank you tonight, Father, that we might get a message from you, O God, from the Word of God through the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jairus, he was a ruler of the synagogue, a very prominent man. But his 12-year-old little girl was sick. Life was just before her, as we know a lot of young people today, we think about that. But yet death is fixed to snatch her away. It's always sad to think about death whenever a young person dies, either through sickness or accident. A lot of times during the graduation time, a lot of kids, you know, have wrecks on the road, or it's just such a sad thing to know that a youth seems like whenever they die. But cemeteries, they're all sizes of graves. If y'all know that, cemeteries, you see there's for the old people out there, there's graves for them, and there's graves for the middle-aged, and there's graves for the young, and then there's graves for little babies. Little small babies. In this passage, there's some main characters and there's some by-players, as we usually see, as we go along the way. These people makes up our little story, or we might say this parable, as we come to talk about the by-miracles. The father is Jairus's, we call him, and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and 12-year-old girl. It's kind of like turning on your DVD player as you read this story of what happened to this man and his little daughter. If you could have been there, and the DVD player is now turned on, and we go right straight into Jairus's, the problem of his desperation. Now, here's a man, and he was very desperate. My little girl, it says, verse 23, besought Jesus Christ, or begged him, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. Now, pray thee, come, lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live." Now, he was at a point of desperation. You know, we would say at death's door. You ever been seen anybody at death's door, at the very point of death? Well, we know that all of us are going to come there sooner or later. Everyone is going to come to that point of death door, or the point of death. We're only just one heartbeat away. O King David in 2 Samuel says, "There's just one step between me and death." And I always add a little bit whenever I read those scriptures, a lot of times at funerals, and I add, "And it's not a very long step, that step we have between us and death. One step, and it's not a very long step." As we look at old Jairus, he was a very prominent man, well-to-do. He was a ruler of the synagogue. I mean, people recognized him. He prepared the program for church. It's like a synagogue was like we have for church today. And it was not the temple. Now, the synagogue was not the temple, but it was all the towns had synagogues in them. But it weren't the temple, but it's a place where they worship. It's like the Jewish church now. They have these synagogues. And it's kind of like we have a church. And he was a man was over this. He prepared the program at a church. And the scripture that was supposed to be read, and maybe the songs are going to be sung. But desperation comes to all, the up and up and the down and out. Nobody is immune to desperation. We'll all reach that point sometime in life. No matter who you are, no matter what you got, the up and up and down, but we're all going to reach that point of desperation at some time in our life. It comes to preachers. Did y'all know that? It comes to preachers. This man was a preacher. It comes to Christians. Did y'all know that? Christians have problems and difficulties. In fact, we got a lot of people that play here with problems and difficulties. Christians all come to that point. As this DVD begins to play on, as we look at the dad now, Jairus, he comes home from work, probably, you know, like a lot of people comes home from work and hard day's work. He wants getting ready for a little bit of rest in his recliner. His wife comes on and says, you know, our little daughter come home from school and she's not feeling well, so I put her to bed. She's running a very hot fever. He goes and checks on her, and her fever continues to go up, and after a while he goes back and check on her, she's getting worse. You ever come to that problem with your children, your family, loved ones, and you start to panic and you get in desperation, know what to do, and then you say you better get this girl somewhere to the doctor. You better get her to the hospital. You ever done that? Get this girl, get you sick to the hospital. Get them to the point that you might get some help. Well, old Jairus saw Jesus Christ in verse 22, and behold, he says, come one of the rulers of the synagogue, that's him by name. And he saw Jesus, and he fell at his feet. Well, his desperation now runs away from his dignity. He fell at Jesus' feet. It comes to a point he didn't trust no longer in his promptness or his wealth or his money, prestige, or his power. All that meant nothing to him. He was at desperation. We all probably come to that point. Nothing you have and nothing you can do, and you feel helpless because some of your loved ones is laying there and ain't nothing that you can do. But Jesus comes on the scene. All this happened to him to bring him to Jesus Christ. And you know what? He said he'd come, and he fell at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's what Christ wants us to do. When desperation hits you, and it will. Go hit everybody if we live in this life long enough. And this is meant to bring us to the feet of Jesus. Some people going through the most desperation time I ever saw, and they will not come to the feet of Jesus. Family is tore up more so than I've ever saw in my life. And they will not kneel before the Lord Jesus Christ. Church means absolutely nothing to them. You cannot separate Jesus Christ from his church. But this man did. He done what all of us should do, and everybody should do. He come to the feet of Jesus Christ. He besought him, Jesus, greatly. My little daughter. Jared said his little daughter. That word there is just loaded down with love. My little loved one. This problem comes to everybody, but it's what you do with your problems that really makes the difference. Everybody, every family comes to some problems in their life and come to a point of desperation. But what do you do with your problems? A lot of people try to solve them on their own. Just hunker down and try to overcome it. Just hunker down, maybe it'll pass, instead of coming to Jesus Christ and bringing to Jesus Christ and come to church and bring your family to church. But they hunker down, maybe this will be over before long. We all have the problem of what you do with your problems. As this DVD keeps on playing, Jairus, the problem of desperation comes. And then the Savior moves on the scene, the problem of delay. You see in verse 24, and Jesus went with him after he came to a point and told him about his little daughter, Leah's point's death. And then he says there in 24, and Jesus went with him. And much multitude of people followed him and thronged him. I mean, just kind of crowded Jesus Christ out. We see Jesus Christ immediately whenever was told about it. He's like a magnet. And he went down where it was. See, your problems is a magnet in Jesus Christ's heart and draws Jesus Christ to your problems. Why? Because he loves us. He cares for us. When we hurt, he hurts. And it draws Christ's heart to us. Jesus Christ said in Hebrew, as our high priest who can be touched with our his feelings of our infirmities. He feels when we feel. He hurts whenever we hurt. That old song we sing in our hymn books, old red hymn book. What is the name of that old song? I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I can't bear to bear my burdens alone. You know, that's what he's asked us to do. Just tell Jesus about it. That's what this man done. That's what we should do. We reach our desperation. We have problems in our life and our family. We just need to tell Jesus Christ about it. I must tell Jesus. You know what? Because he's the only one that really can do anything about our problems anyway. Along the way, verse 24 again, it says, and Jesus Christ went with him, and much people followed him and kind of crowded him out. Multitudes of people. Used to, you know, whenever people were sick. Now, back in the early days, whenever doctors make house calls and there weren't no ambulances, whenever people would be, sick, they'd run and get the doctor. A lot of time it'd be too late. I mean, they might have to come from the town, and they would come whenever they could. Doctors would. And as time progressed on, instead of the doctors coming to the people, then the people would go to the hospital, you know. And so you ever going to get your child to the hospital, and maybe you fix and run that child to the hospital, and then the traffic. And now, day and time, I thank the Lord, we don't really, now it's changed back. We don't carry them to the hospital. We got these rescue service. That's the quickest and the best way to get them to come to you. You know, they got these sirens. If you try to get your child to the hospital this day and time, can you imagine the cars on the roads and you get caught in traffic and trying to get your child to the hospital, and you imagine the church, they're working on the roads and they all backed up for 2 miles or three or four, and you can't see, and you see, and you're running late, and you need to get your child, little child, to the hospital. And you can imagine the panic that you would have. She's getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and you don't know if she's going to last till you get there or not. Then all this traffic jam, you can't get it. Well, that's where this man failed. All these people crowded Jesus out. He couldn't get to nowhere. And this girl getting sicker and sicker and sicker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and time was just slipping right on by. And the man, the frustration, the crowd hindered Jesus from getting to the girl. It hindered Jesus Christ. And then it comes in where this woman had an issue of blood, was in the crowd that was there, had an issue of blood for 12 years. She said, if I could only touch the hem of his garments, she said, I'd be healed. And Jesus Christ knew, and she touched his garment, and Jesus Christ knew someone had touched him. He turned around in verse 34 of the same chapter said, and he said unto her daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And there's a whole sermon in that too. But he says, go and have your way and be healed and be healthy. And you talking about happy. Man, she was a shouting. She hadn't been healed in 12 years. You talking about having a good time and a shouting. Everybody was around her. Everybody knew her was just shouting and praising the Lord Jesus Christ for healing her. But not Jairus. He's trying to get his little girl to Jesus and get Jesus' little girl. This little girl was the apple of his eye. You know what I'm talking about, grandparents? Mothers and fathers? Boy or girl? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? This little one was the music of life to him. This little one, grandkids or great-grandkids, she's the one that made the sun come up in the morning for him. 12 years old. Can you imagine? Most of us have these that makes our son comes up to. Now, can you imagine? At the door of death now. She's fixing to die. He can't get Jesus Christ to her. The problem of delay. He's delayed. He's faced with that. You know, Mary and Martha was faced with that also. Y'all remember that? Jesus, our brother's sick and he's dying come. And Jesus Christ delayed his coming for two more days until he died. Jesus Christ, if you had been here, our brother would have lived. Because you see, they think this problem of delay is denial, but it was not. What did he do when he got there? He hadn't been dead before. They didn't matter to Jesus Christ. It had been 4 million years. 4 days, what did he do? He called his name. See, this delay, he couldn't understand it. But you see, desperate in this situation, it needs our attention. So a lot of times the people, their desperation, the situation, what they decide to do, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll really start going to church. My family, they're in terrible shape. I'm in this desperation. My family's falling apart. I never problemed in all my life. Me and my family sick, whatever it might be. Oh, I'm going to know what I do. My attendance is going to pick up at church. Man, they do that, you know. And man, the tithe, you haven't been tithing. You start giving tithing. You knock all the dust off the Bible and begin to read your Bible. And you're loosening up your knees. You start bowing down and praying to Almighty God. And you're counting on Jesus Christ. And something's fixing to happen. You know something, you can't keep going like it's going in your family. And you know what? The deadline passes for Jesus Christ. Don't seem like he even come. And don't seem like he even cared. Verse 35. While he yet spoke, there came from the rulers of the synagogue, how certain which said, thy daughter's dead. He just died, Jairus. He began to talk to Jesus, and they said, why trouble the master any further? She's dead. I mean, that's the end of it. He was unprepared for those words. A lot of time we are. They said, why trouble the master any longer? And really that means, why really annoy the master any further? Because she's dead. You see, they didn't really understand Jesus as a lot of people today. They didn't know Jesus Christ because, or didn't understand him. Because you never annoy Jesus Christ with your problems. Bring your problems to him. He never gets tired of hearing your problems. Say, why bother him? You're not bothering Jesus Christ with your problems. James 1 and 5 said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberty and unbraideth not, and he shall be given him. He never gets tired of us calling on him. You think you're wearing him out? He never gets tired of us calling on him. That's a savior that we have. Verse 36 in this chapter said, as soon as Jesus heard these words that was spoken, he said unto the rulers of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. You know, sometimes we get to the point that it seems like our faith is withering away, and Jesus Christ comes on the scene. He says, only just believe. Because his delays are not denials. Because he's waiting. Because something seems like it's not happening, it's happening. May not like we want it to happen, but it's happening. Isaiah 30 and 8 says, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Bless all they that wait for him. Wait. That's something hard to do. Y'all know it. I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait in lines. I don't like to wait. But I tell you one thing, you can't rush the Lord. You can't break in line with the Lord. You see, he's right on schedule. Have some problems in your life, your family. If you're doing what you need to do with the Lord, you won't be able to rush him. You see, the Savior, now the problem of delay that old Jairus was facing. But then let's move to their daughter, the dead girl. The problem of death. Verse 37. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John and the brother of James. Now he's come to the daughter. Three disciples with him. Now he just called these three disciples. Usually they was with him most of the time because they was in a circle. And you say, why? Because they loved Jesus Christ, because they enjoyed being with him. Did you know the more people enjoy and love Jesus Christ, the more you see him in the house of God? The more that people love Jesus Christ, the more they enjoy being with Jesus Christ, the more you see them in the house of God. They enjoyed being with him. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed to a man once to die. The great reality of life now set in has come upon us. Now, verse 37, here's a picture now of chaos in verse 38. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and sees the multitudes or the turmoil, and then that wept and wailed greatly. Pastor of chaos. He comes now to the house. Where it's already been announced the girl's dead. I've been where the sadness of death and families, with the tears, sorrow of the mourning, Brother Marshall and Brother Darrell. You can see in picture the DVD comes on play now. Mother's holding the little girl in her arms. The tears in the mother's eyes, she's cried, her eyes are so red she can't see. Trembling, horrifying of death has set in. It's going to come to all of us. 39 says, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this commotion and weep? The damsel is not dead, but asleep. This is the master speaking. It says there in the next verse, they laughed at Jesus Christ. This girl's dead. They laughed at him. She ain't asleep. She's dead. Made fun of him. But you see, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14 says, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You see, there's a meeting day. Even for your loved ones, there's a meeting day that know Jesus Christ. And it says there in verse 40, and they left him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he takes the father and the mother and the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was laying. Entered in, it means he going into the place, the meeting place. Even though the house was small, but they went into where the child was, in the death chamber. In the death chamber. Out of here of the distance, they went from where they was into that death chamber. Moved into the land of the dead. Moving into the land, from the land of the living to the land of dead, has looked like it. I've been in the rooms of death many times. It's something pastors have to do. I've been there whenever the death was knocking on a lot of people's door and watched them as they took the last gasping breath. The breathing began to be shallow. And you tell the struggle that sets in. But you cause the we have in us the instinct to try to breathe every breath that we can. And you're going to grasp for every bit, every air that you can. That's just the instinct that God has given us to keep on breathing. But there come a point, he will stop, and you won't get that breath. There's a death of sorrow and silence in the room if you've been in places where people have passed to the next life. It's the area of the silent. It comes on the scene. Verse 41, and he took the damsel by hand and said unto her, Talikamai, or whatever that is, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And that means little girl, an arithmetic word, little girl, get up. That word was a common word to use. It was a word, as I say, in the arithmetic. It's translated here in this King James. It means just like you would tell your little kids, get up. Little girl, get up, so-and-so. It's time to get up and go to school, just in a normal language. That's what he spoke to her. Get up. It's time to wake up. It's time to get up. At this time, can you imagine the death angel was already had this little girl and he is flying to the gates of glory. Jesus Christ says, wake up, little girl. At that time, you know what the death angel had to do? That death angel had to fly backwards. Isn't that something? That death angel had to fly backwards. Now, have you ever been down to the beach where these seagulls, you see the seagulls flying, and I mean, a gust of wind coming, I just get them in a hover overlooking, and you know what? They'd be flying backwards. You know what? That death angel had to do the same thing. That death angel had to fly backwards because of the command of Jesus Christ. It says, wake up. He had to bring her back. Yet old death angel had to bring her back. She's alive. He gave her life. You see, it's a point that he gave her life. Why he did this? Well, it tells us. There's a point, you know, of why. Two children in a hospital room, or two people in a hospital room, same kind of sickness. One gets healed, other do not get healed, or other goes on to death. Why? That's what happens sometimes to our loved ones. Some gets healed. Well, you say, well, that's what happened to mine. My little child or my loved one didn't get healed. Here's the reason. Would you agree tonight that every one of us would be better off in heaven right now? Would we be better off right now in heaven? Would we? Would we be better off in heaven right now? You better believe it. God's made heaven for us. Now, we're not told a whole lot about heaven in the Bible. God don't want us to know a whole lot about it. He's told us all we need to know. But heaven is all the mind and the heart of a God create for the people he loves so much that he gave his only begotten son. Now, that's going to be a special place, I can assure you. And everybody that goes to heaven is better off in heaven than they are living in this world. Everybody that goes to heaven is better off living there than they are living in this world. My main point, if we believe this and say this, in this situation, Jesus Christ had compassion. Listen now, in this situation, Jesus Christ had compassion on the parents. This is why that some kids, like I said, in the same room, same kind of sickness, two twins, one dead, one's alive. In this situation like this, Jesus Christ had compassion on the parents. And you have prayed for your loved ones. Some of them may be at the point of sickness, and Jesus Christ spared them. Now, would it have been better for this girl if she would have went on with the angel to heaven? It would have been better for her. But he had compassion on the parents. She come back. She had to go through sickness and sorrow and even death. But he had compassion on the parents. She had to die again. She had to come back to the land of the suffering and the heartaches and sorrow. Sometimes Jesus has compassion on the child or on the loved one. And they go on to be with Jesus. It's far better. It's far better. That's when Jesus Christ shows compassion on that sick. And not the mothers and fathers. He had compassion on that person, the baby, the child, or whatever it might be, and carries them to the land where there'll be no more tears and sorrow and death. Verse 42 and 43, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years old, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And Jesus Christ charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. She said, Mom, I believe I want some of that vegetable soup. Amen. He had compassion on the parents. I believe I want some of that vegetable soup. Now, she says, walked over to her mother and just hugged her mother, hugged her daddy, fell at the feet of Jesus Christ and says, thank you, now I have a purpose for living. And I have a reason for living. There's a reason for living. You know, really, when a Christian dies, it's nothing very, really, really serious. When a Christian dies, you're just going to be with the Lord. Paul says it's far better. Far better. Y'all remember, I'm getting through early tonight. Y'all remember when we had telephone operators in our area? We had party lines. There were no problem keeping up what happened in the community. All you had to do is just listen when everybody talk. Everybody had party lines. back in those days, there was a party line. The operator was eavesdropping on two ladies, was talking, and you know how ladies would do sometimes, people. And one of them said, you know, old Bill died. And I said, well, I didn't even know he was sick. Yeah, he died. Well, what was wrong with him? I didn't even know he was sick. The other said, there wasn't nothing serious. You know, there's not nothing really serious about the death of a Christian. God, we're going to a far better. Y'all believe that? Christ had compassion on the mother and the father. She come back, but she had to do a lot of suffering. You see that a lot of time whenever we pray and your prayers are answered in a way that Jesus Christ has compassion on the mother and father, but the years and years and years of the suffering, trials and heartaches maybe the child might have throughout the years. We was just at a funeral Saturday, what we missed. You remember that funeral Saturday? There was two babies. And I thought about this. Two twins. One was dead, one was alive. Had a little casket. It was about that long, wasn't it? Can you imagine if God would allow that child to live, the suffering and heartaches they would have went through? One child was alive. The family here tonight, that was Curtis and Linda's great-grandson. But you see, one of those babies, those twins, one of them, Jesus Christ had compassion on the parents. And the other one, he had compassion on the child. Because we know exactly what happened to the babies. They went to the far better. So when you read this, isn't it amazing what God will do for you? And to show you sometimes that whenever your loved ones are taken, that Jesus Christ is having compassion on them instead of you. If we just believe what God says, I'm preparing a place for you. Good gracious alive, when he does come back and get us, we're going to be in a far better. It ain't nothing serious about a saint dying to the Lord. We're going to a far better place. We must believe that. We must believe that, what Jesus Christ has done for us. My throat's about gone as far as it'll go tonight. Anybody? I'm closing off early tonight, about 5 minutes early. Anybody like to say anything? Anybody got an opportunity? Anybody?